Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barber, a co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, I'm excited, man. We got our first in-person guest for Movers and Shakers. And I just want to say, driving up, making it happen, our boy Chad Tucker here. A lot of respect, man, to come hang out in the office with us.
It's a frat house.
It's taken months to get this studio going. We should have had it ready. It wasn't ready, but one of the things about entrepreneurship, you can't complain. You just got to keep the ball rolling and we'll get it figured out sooner or later. It's persistence, persistence, persistence. Josh, intro the guest today, please.
All right. So today's guest is Chad Tucker. He's a full-time real estate investor and a full-time firefighter that joined Jake and Gino in 2020. Chad is the owner and operator of Acorn Capital Solutions, a multifamily investment company with a mission to provide safe, clean, professional management housing to its residents. Since joining Jake and Gino, he has asset managed over 61 units at a value of over $8.5 million. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Mr. Tucker.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
the good
intro.
All right. So, Chad, let's talk about who is Chad Tucker. How did you get into real estate? Give us the basics.
It goes way, way, way back. In 2003, I became a firefighter. Kind of default. I never wanted to do it. I had this urge to do something else, but it was a family calm, but also a personal calm. And I saw a tragedy and I just felt helpless. So I went down that road and it's been a great career, but the whole time I've been talking in several directions. I don't know if we've talked, but before I joined the community, I was up for promotion. Like I'm a lieutenant with my fire department. I could do very well, retire, be very comfortable. It just something didn't feel right. Like it just wasn't a call for me. And I wanted to do real estate. So I went back in to look into what works for me in real estate. And I landed on multifamily because it was an actual business. I did some wholesaling. I did some other stuff in the past. And it just seemed too limited.
So hold on. You say actual business. That's something that we hear a lot about multifamily. But let's break that down. What does that actually mean to you?
So when you wholesale, right, you can make tons of money. And now that I've met people that do it as a business, like you can do a real business out of it. But for me, it was, I got a check when I sold the house. I had to find another house. I had to find another one. With multifamily, I can do tons of things. It depends on where I specialize in. But also, I can bring that value to tons of people, which I love doing with the fire department background, just helping others. But at the same time, I can create passive income. So once I get a system and process and efficiencies in place, which I enjoy doing, it almost runs itself.
That's awesome. So if I'm hearing you correctly, wholesaling is transactional, which is great. And again, you can make that a big income, but you stop those transactions and the money stops. With multifamily, you do a deal and you can hold those deals for the lifetime. You can continue to get paid by that asset. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing for me is I work 24 hours on, 48 hours off. I have four kids, a wife, and I was working 6-7 days a week working overtime like when I went to the blue-collar prison. And it's amazing. I'm grateful for the opportunities that I got. But having passive income allows me to have that time back with my kids.
So let's talk more about this. You decide that you want to do something else. You commit to multifamily as the vehicle within real estate. What did you do next?
A lot of procrastination.
Okay, tell me more.
Probably 6-7 months of listening to your podcast. Here, Movers and Shakers, and anything you guys put out content, Michael Block, tons of other community content, reading books left and right. And then finally, it got to a point where I was like, I got to do something. I had a little bit of money saved up and I was like, okay, I can really screw this up. Like you can really screw up investing in multifamily. One wrong deal, I could lose everything I saved the last 16 years for. So I bet on myself and your community, and I put it into the coaching program after some great advice and talking to tons of people and being skeptical of the whole thing. And it's been the best investment I've ever made in my life.
Oof, those are big words.
I even have a degree. And this hands down was better than college to me. It taught me so much more.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times I think back and reflect on my degree as well, right? It took, you know, 6 years to graduate. I got 6 figures in debt. And honestly, at that point, 6 years in, I didn't even make any money, right? And that debt is debt. It's a lot. So here, when I look at something like this, in 6 years, someone should have a fully functioning business. And if they want, be able to replace their income. It's such a night and day comparison versus college, in my opinion.
What problems were you experiencing, though, before joining Jake and Gino? I heard the procrastination. I can share some of what my thoughts were when you joined because we had a couple of coaching calls. And for everybody out there, it's not just as if Chad Tucker came down and threw down some money on the table, said, here, I'm joined. Chad's been to all the events. He participates. He's on all the accountability calls. He's on the blueprint calls. He's on the coaching calls. He comes to the live event. So it's not something where it's a passive activity. It's an active activity going out there. Quick story. We are at the boot camp last year in Knoxville, and it was Sunday night. We're flying back, and Allegiant, in their infinite wisdom, decides to cancel the flights. So we're stuck in the airport. I have the luxury of staying over the next night in Jake's house. So I stay over at Jake's, you know, the same night. It cost me $250 to rent the car for the day. It was painful, but I had that option. What did Chad do? He got on, he rented a car, flew down. I don't even know what he did. He just ended up driving overnight to get back. And that's the effort and the energy that you have to put into this business. It's great joining a community. The community is the first step, but I guess putting that effort is in the second step. If you want to, you know, finish that story, I remember you at the airport. We're like, what are we going to do? No reason for, you know, they gave us no explanation. Like, flight's canceled, and you get two flights a day out of Knoxville. So you have no sure your flight gets canceled. So we're sitting there like two chooches going, what do we do now? So it was an interesting evening.
I'm used to working through chaos with the fire department. And I mean, that's like, I guess when someone asks what's my superpower for this real estate stuff, and I can work with anyone, and I love working in chaos. I enjoy it. So I ended up flying down to Sarasota, renting a car, driving an hour and a half. And the only reason I did that is because I made a promise to my wife I would be home Sunday, because Monday I promised that my kids and us were going to go on a family trip. Mm-hmm. And that's more important. When I joined the community, it was for the family. So there's a saying that how you are now, what is it? Like, if you're a jerk now, as you get rich, you're still going to be a jerk, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, if I can't make time for my family now when I don't have a lot of money, what's that going to be like when I'm making $100,000 a month, $200,000 a month, if I ever want to get to that point? Because it's my choice. And that's my procrastination analysis paralysis is what's preventing me from being tenfold better than where I was today. Because I can't do this, or I'm this, or they're going to think this. And through your community, through people coaching me, through people, I don't know if you know, but Mark and Jeff pulled me aside separately at a money mixer. And they're like, dude, you are smart. You know what you're doing. You have the right concepts. You just need to get a deal. And people saying those honest words and just saying, go for it. That's what's allowed me to accelerate.
So what other problems you're experiencing before joining? I hear procrastination. Yep. I hear analysis paralysis. I hear maybe not having the right market, not being focused. Yep. I'm going to throw one
mindset.
More. Yes.
Mindset. My mindset personally, I make a nice, comfortable living compared to a lot of people. Yes. But like, to me, I win in my group of population of people I hung out with. Like, I have a nice house. My bills are paid. We can go on family trips, and I wanted more. But that comfortableness allowed me to imprison myself in limiting beliefs. Like, don't push the boundaries too much. You're doing good. Don't screw it up. So I have still today, a year and a half in of working with the community. Like, I'll call people. I'm like, I'm struggling with this today. And that has helped me a lot. Changing my mindset. Like, I sat in a room with people buying $10, $15 million apartment complexes, looking at George Rodriguez, my buddy. And I'm like, why is he even talking to this other guy? Like, and we're friends now, me and the other gentleman. But like, it's just funny because to me, those people did not exist. Like, they were in a whole narrow realm, but now they're just another people that are just like me.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the mindset and the limiting beliefs. What limiting beliefs did you have? I know you know, we had a Monday lesson and Phil McKernan was on. It was a great lesson for the community, talking about money and talking about wealth. And what limiting beliefs did you have around that? And specifically even multifamily, because most people, when they join multifamily, they think it's a pie in the sky. I can't achieve that. That's something where I don't have $2 million put down in a deal. What limiting beliefs were you up against before you joined?
I'll be honest, I still have them. I mean, they're not gone. They don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever go away from the people I've talked to, but I've been able to attack them. Action cures fear. Your guys are saying action plus education equals results. Those are things that are like in the foundation for me. So anytime that fear starts to come at me and that mindset starts to sabotage me, I go to work. I got to do something. It's just, mm-hmm. I know that's a cause and effect reaction I need to create in my environment. But the mindset limit me from growth. I mean, I went 6 months where like, I didn't want to call brokers because what are they going to say? Do they not know me? Like, what if they say this about me? And then, oh, I don't want to talk to people about this deal because what if they don't think I can do it because I don't have any experience? And it doesn't exist. When you do the work and you do the activity and you build the relationships, my deal that we closed last time, December, I made 2 phone calls and it was fully funded because people know, like, and trust me. And it comes from a lot of work, but it also comes from me believing in myself.
So let's talk about that deal, Chad. I want to hear about it.
So nothing happens overnight. Give yourself some patience and grace in this business, please, people, because everyone thinks you see people close deals and you're like, oh, how are they doing it? This deal, I was a year into this group, and I've been talking to this broker before I even joined this group. And it's not just, it's how are your kids, how are you doing? I put in multiple offers. I probably lost out 7-8 offers, best and final, with this broker. And it's a 16-unit complex in Gainesville, Florida. It's on the north and outside of the college. They're all quadplexes, two ones identical, but it fits what I've come to terms as my criteria, which is I like doing value add through efficient management. The guy who owned it is a great gentleman. He owned it for 13 years, self-managed, did everything himself, did all the repairs, knew the tenants personally. And he was ready to retire. So we were able to take it over at a nice average rent that was way below market value. We were able to do some deferred maintenance and cleanup that was very minor. And now we're providing a good, clean, safe, professionally managed product for the tenants and getting great returns.
Let's talk about that real quick. And it's important. I think the listeners really need to listen to this, because Chad had mentioned this right before we started recording. He had touched upon his buy right criteria and focusing on a market. I think before he joined, he was scattered. He was looking at deals in Lexington, Kentucky. He was looking at deals in parts of Tennessee. And ultimately, I think for everybody listening to this, this is important. What's your bandwidth? What's your experience? Where do you live? Focusing on what your buy right criteria is. The first thing that people think when they think multifamily is, I need a deal. Well, before you need the deal, what kind of deal are you looking for? And what's a deal for you? Because a deal for Chad is not a deal for Josh, and it's not a deal for Gino. So can you just touch a little bit upon your buy right criteria and how that really formulated as you became in the community? And all of a sudden, you're able to focus. Now you're in certain markets and you're looking at certain deals. Can you dive into that for me, please?
So Gino's right. And part of my limiting belief is I thought I had to own everything, or I had to own the majority of it, because I wanted control to not have someone else sabotage my future. If you get with the right people, you don't have to worry about that. So I was looking in lower price point markets. Where I'm at, 150 is like a great deal per door. And it's very intimidating, because my first house was even 150. And I was like, I'll never be able to afford this. I'll never be able to break in. So as I progressed, I was looking everywhere. But then what it came down to was, what is my long-term goal? My long-term goal is more time with my family. My benefit that I can add is acquisition and asset management and boots on the ground. I can't do that if I'm flying to Columbus, Ohio, and be with my family. I can't do that if I'm going to Cincinnati or Arizona or whatever, because that's time away from my family. So I do a 2-hour radius outside of Orlando, Tampa, Gainesville, 2-hour radius drive time. It allows me to drop my kids off in the morning, go do what I need to do, pick my kids up on the way back, and I still have dinner and be home with them. And that's been a grounding thing in my growth. But then also, I buy stuff that is not huge value yet. I don't have a construction background, but I can do some handy stuff. But I know if I got to do a lot of it, I'm going to get way too in the weeds. And that takes time away from my family. So we look for minor renovations and effective management plays. We want to do good decreases of cost. We want to increase rent up to what market is and provide a clean product that is easy to turn.
I'm just writing notes down, Chad. I want all the listeners to write these things down, because this is what I've gleaned from what you've said in the last 2 minutes, which is crucial, everybody. The first thing is price versus value. Chad was focused on price, and I don't want to insult anybody, but that's what the middle class we focus on, because I was in that class also. We're focusing on what something costs. Don't only focus on the cost, focus on what the value is. Because if you're looking at something, and I have the same mindset as you, Knoxville, $100,000 a unit, we're not going to do that. And guess what? We're buying deals at $160,000 a door in Knoxville now, because we understand the tremendous amount of value, the growth in that market, the growth in the rents, the growth in the net operating income. So don't only just focus on price, focus on the value of the asset. I think the second thing, everybody, what are your long-term goals? Chad has them figured out. He probably has his values figured out, his core values. What are your long-term goals? That's number two. Number three, what is the value that you can provide? The more value you can provide and the clearer you are on that, it'll be easier to partner up with other people and it'll be easier for you to get compensated. So figure out what your value is. I love it with Chad. Chad clearly said, hey, I'm boots on the ground. I'm asset management. I know how to run these deals. I can underwrite these deals. There's my value. And I think the last one, he's employing the model of valuation through operation, not just renovation. And that's truly important in this part of the market cycle, especially in his area where rents are increasing 15 to 20% and those mom and pops haven't raised rents in 3 years. And they're so far behind on rents. When you come in, you're like, can I really raise rents $400 to $500 on a unit? Yes, you can, because the operational inefficiencies have been there for so many years. And now that Chad can focus on that, instead of buying an asset for $60 a door and not being able to really raise rents, he's buying assets in the 140s, 150s, 160 a door, but he's pushing NOI dramatically. And that's where his value is. And that's when you have a low cap rate environment. Don't be caught up in, it's a three cap. If you're adding value at a three cap, you're going to make a tremendous amount of money in this business.
I think what you get trapped into is like, okay, I can buy more units, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a very low cap rate market, like four cap, seeing stuff trade in a three cap is not uncommon. But every penny I increase the NOI, I increase by 20, 30, yes, whatever the cap rate is, way more than someone in an eight cap market. Mm-hmm. So the same amount of work goes into doing that in the same market, but I'm getting paid a lot more. So that was one thing that, like, once that resonated with me and I saw that, like, I was like, okay, I'm doing the same amount of work, but I'm getting paid for more because I'm taking a risk and I'm buying it. Then also, it's an appreciation market. You got to look at what you want. You guys talk about equity is what's going to make you rich and cash flow is what pays the bills. I pay my bills with my W-2. My W-2 is a beautiful thing. I work one day, have 2 days off. My kids are fed. I know my four walls are in place and I'm safe. Everything I'm doing right now is to try and get as much equity to grow that nest egg to where when I separate from the two, nothing against the fire department. I love it, but I'm never going back.
And that's important, everybody. The concept of the conveyor belt. What Chad's doing, he's putting assets in a conveyor belt and he's cash flowing day one, enough to pay the bills. But what he's really doing is this is his strategy. Once again, this is his clarity. Putting deals on a conveyor belt where they ultimately matriculate 2, 3, 4 years down the road and either get that big equity play out of that. And then all of a sudden you get that equity and you can repurpose that into buying more assets and being clear on what you want to do and also selecting the market. Market cycle is going to change, but right now that's what he has to play within his market cycle. He understands the strategy. You need equity to continue to grow and continue to put that into newer assets. Start that conveyor belt, start buying those deals, start putting those deals on the conveyor belt. Do you want to add anything to that, Chad?
I think the big thing is don't get too greedy. Like, you can't buy every deal. They're not always going to work out. Mm-hmm. I lose deals all the time to people, and then they're buying on different terms, different margins, different needs. Just stick to your criteria. Once you have your criteria, like, my life got so much quicker. I think last year I underwrote 145 deals and like north of $500 million of valuation of what they were asking in price of. And I only did that because I was really clear on what I wanted, mm-hmm, and what fit. And if it didn't fit, it got kicked out. And I could underwrite very quick because I know my market. And just take those times and then network with people.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize you could do this business?
I'm still figuring that out. No, I mean, like I said, the limiting beliefs are still there. I just got off the call. I was telling Josh on the way up here he's a very good syndicator locally that is nice enough to have lunch and breakfast with me. He's like, you get stuff that people in 20 years don't get, but I still think I'm learning. And he's been doing it for 30 years. So I know I can do it. It's just getting my head to believe I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably 6-7 months in before, like, I believed in myself enough to say, okay, let me take the risk. I don't have tons of money, but I put $30,000 of my own money at risk to close the Gainesville deal. Mm-hmm. And if it went south, like, that $30,000 does not come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I knew it would close. I would make it close. Even I got 1% equity in the deal. It was going to close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what mattered, was to get it closed and to prove to myself that I could do it.
So do you think the community has given you a big lift on that as far as, you know, your peer group being able to go back to the well and say, hey, I'm having struggles with this, coming out to these events, going to the money mixers, networking, being able to raise capital? Has that been a big bonus to you as well?
I've told you and I've told Josh and I tell new people that join the community, this community is what makes Jake and Gino so good and so beneficial. The education component is good. Yes, you still have to do some work on your underwriting market. The reps and underwriting you have to do, you have to talk to brokers, but this community is what makes it. The people that are in my Gainesville deal that I made one phone call from have been waiting for that call because they want to partner with. And I called to get someone to sign on a loan, because you have to have a KP that signs on a loan. I got him to sign on a loan. I was like, hey, can you sign on a loan? He asked me how much I need for the down payment. they ended up having a 1031 clearing about the same price. And he goes, can we come in as a JV instead of a syndication? I was like, well, what's your qualification? Because he's a friend of mine, but we were joking. He's just laughing. But it's been beautiful for me because I'm with people I know, like, and trust too. Mm-hmm.
So nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Can you dive into a little bit of your, you know, raising? Because people are going to be on the call and go, well, how could he raise all that money in one shot? Discuss the, and it's the long game. It's not the get there-itis. It's the systems and processes. But what couple of tips can you give us before you go to the short answers of raising capital for your deals?
So don't be greedy. You don't need to get it all. Mm-hmm. So I was able in my underwriting firm that I used to write out a JV version. And what I offered them gave my partners easily a 20% return on their money, which is ridiculous. And I took a little bit, yes, for my sake, but they were getting good returns. Plus they're going to get their money back in 2 years, by the way, because we're rebuying. So give back as much as you want to give, because now that relationship's there and these partners are like, hey, when's the next one? And that's what accelerates you. The more you help other people, the more they're going to trust and know and like you when you communicate and keep it open and do a professional job and you think long-term, because they want to know their money's not at risk. I've said, like, I have money and I'm comfortable, but like the amount of money that is brought in my deal is more than this in my investments for over 16 years as a firefighter. And they trusted me with that. One of the partners I've never even met until 2 months after closing. And it's only because he knows, likes, and trusts after conversation.
I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Family, this is where you need to be.
The team you've built is incredible.
There is no egos here. Everyone is always looking to help the other person.
All right, Chad, I got some short answer questions for you here. So, all right, let's say I'm a new investor. I know all that knows where I want to go. What would you advise my next step on?
There's tons. It depends on where you're at. For me, I had to get the mindset and I had to get around the right people. And that's what I think took me to the next level. Get around the right people who want what's in your best interest. The thing I love about commercial investing in multifamily is I have met very few people in this industry anywhere that is going to be a jerk.
Love it, man. All right. What about your favorite book you've ever read and why?
There's a lot of them because I'm an avid or voracious reader. So it's Master's, thank you on that one. But, Slight Edge is the one that for some reason just did it for me. I was on a cruise with my wife. I read The Slight Edge. It talks about writing, like, basically your at your funeral, what they're going to say about your life. And it really hit me that I was not living the life that I was meant to live.
Love it, man. What about best habit for success?
Show up. You got to show up every day. Like, I call it my drop in the bucket theory. There's the 1%. There's tons of things you can say, but I call it the drop in the bucket. Every day, no matter what, my kids are a hot mess and I can sneak away for 30 seconds to put one drop in the bucket. I don't care if it's a 55-gallon drum. One day that bucket's going to overflow. And then the next time another drop hits that bucket, it's going to overflow more and more and more. But it takes a lot of work to where it gets there. So every day, just try and do one little thing.
Yeah, I love that. So guys, look, I think there's a lot of takeaways on this episode. And for me, I mean, the few themes that really stand out is having a clear why, and that's going to really help guide you to take action when you don't feel like it. The second one is getting educated, knowing what able to do that help overcome those limiting beliefs and give you that confidence to take action. And then lastly, action starves fear. So whenever you're feeling that fear, take action and you're going to starve that fear. Gino, what else do you have to add to that?
I mean, blue collar prison, that's what he called it. And I think it's a great way to motivate yourself. Chad obviously loves his job, but he's trying to secure a future for his family. And I think for everybody listening, take a step back. And what I'd love you to do after you stop listening to the show, sit down and meditate for a few minutes on what are your limiting beliefs? We all have them. And I think limiting beliefs are ones that you can overcome. What Chad's really talking about, in life coaching, we call them gremlins, those inner voices. Those are really, really difficult. A limiting belief, so it takes money to make money, or money doesn't grow on trees. But once you get into multifamily and you start seeing money being thrown at you, that's something that you can overcome. I think really, what are your limiting beliefs? What's holding you back? You know, do the assessment that Chad said. What do you want the end of your life to look like? I mean, do you want to create impact for your family? Do you want to create impact for generations? Do you want to create impact for others? What does that look like? And then reverse engineer that back and what steps you need to take now. I think the other few things, Josh, that I'd like to mention is just trust any process that you're going down the road, whether you're joining a community or you're doing it on your own. I think you really have to stop and know that there's hard work involved. I think people who are successful do things that others won't do. How many people on the call, be honest with yourself, are going to be at an event Sunday night and are going to fly to Sarasota and drive a couple hours overnight and get 2 hours of sleep to make the promise and to fulfill the promise to go on a trip with your family the next day? Very few people do that. That's why very few people are truly successful. It takes that commitment and that hard work. Chad said education times action equals results. Great. Chad was getting educated. He was educated up the wazoo, paralysis analysis. He needed a little push. He needed a bit of accountability to take that action. And that's okay, because a lot of us will let ourselves down before we let others down. And being in a group with other Jake and Gino students and you're seeing other people doing it, that will motivate you and inspire you to do it. And then all of a sudden, you're not letting your peer group down. So it's very, very important that you lock that into your brain. Ultimately, I mentioned price versus value. Don't worry just on the price, focus on the value, focus on where your value, what can you do? That's why it's important selecting a market when you're first starting out. Where's the value that you can provide? If you've got a great balance sheet, great money, fine, let's go that way. If you can asset manage and you know how to do business and systems, focus on that. If you can property manage, focus on that. If you're a great deal finder, focus on that. That's the beautiful thing about multifamily. There's so many different avenues to really excel in this business. And like Chad said, probably a limiting belief when he started out, he needed to have the whole pie. And that's what happens when you first start out. You think you need to have it, but if you can have a little sliver of a lot of more pies, ultimately that pie is going to get bigger and bigger for you, and you're going to create to expand and grow your wealth.
Man, I love that. Gino, I want to hammer that price versus value point a little bit more, because that one is so powerful and so profound to me. In my opinion, price is what you pay for something. Value is what you get in return. And consumers focus on price. Investors focus on value. And so many of us are born into that consumer mindset. And we want to become the investors. We need to think and act like the investor and focus on value. And I really think that's a good guiding principle in this journey.
And Josh, I think a wise person once told me, maybe you told me this, if it makes you money, it costs you nothing. And just stop and think about that for a second. Chad invested into his education. I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education. At the end of the day, did it really cost me anything? I don't think it did, because I'm bringing that forward going forward. I've saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've done over $20 million in refinances to be able to pull money out of capital and put it into the next deal. Would I have been able to do that without investing in myself? I'm probably going to say probably not. So if you're looking at something and it's going to make you money, what is the cost of that? That's what you have to, you know, that price cost analysis. I will venture to say, if it makes you money, it costs you nothing, Josh.
Boom. I love that. Chad, listen, this has been a powerful episode. How can the listeners get a hold of you?
I'm pretty open to everything. Facebook, LinkedIn, you can reach out to me personally if you want. 850-206-4603. That's my cell phone. I'll answer it the best I can. If I'm busy, I'll call you back. And then chad.tucker@acorncapitalsolutions.com. That's my amazing company. Just shoot me an email. We'll set something up and we'll get to talk, or I'll help you out whatever way I can.
Awesome. Well, Chad, listen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your movers and shakers story. And listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a movers and shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.